Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. Today we're going to talk about the gospel reading where Jesus teaches us the Lord's Prayer. Most all of you who are listening, I'm sure, know the Lord's Prayer. You've probably prayed it many times. It's really the central prayer in some ways of the church, other than the Eucharist itself, but it's right there in a critical place even in the celebration of the Eucharist, and it is the fundamental prayer of the disciples of Jesus. And there's a brief reading in the gospel today from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. Matthew's gospel, I believe that the Jesus teaches them how to pray. That's partly in the context of the whole Sermon on the Mount, that beautiful teaching that really the Lord's Prayer is very much related to the whole set of teachings Jesus gives there, the Beatitudes and the like. But I just want to reflect a little bit on the prayer and apply it to our lives in some way, and hopefully we'll be encouraged today by asking the Holy Spirit to help us. Come, Holy Spirit, help us to see this prayer. You're the one who's teaching us this prayer, because in this prayer, Holy Spirit, you're communicating the prayer that was in the heart of Jesus toward the Father. We see in this prayer the disposition, and Jesus has sent you to us to dwell in us, to teach us how to pray, and to teach us how to love the Father, which is really at the center, at the core of what it means to pray, is to respond to the love of the Father with love. Holy Spirit, fill us, inspire us, strengthen us, teach us. Amen. So Luke 11, 1 through 4, Jesus was praying in a certain place. And when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive anyone in debt to us, and do not subject us to the final test.'" So there's Luke's account here. It's got five petitions, and I think Matthew's has seven petitions, elements of a little broader, a little more broken open of the Lord's Prayer. And one of the things to see, the light went on for me, I don't know, maybe 20 years ago, because my whole life I prayed the Lord's Prayer, liked the Lord's Prayer, but I took some time to meditate on it over a period of weeks and months and did some reading on it. But at one point I thought, the genius of this prayer is when we come to prayer just naturally, the first thing we typically do, human beings typically do, is to begin to petition the Lord, and to petition the Lord for requests for needs in our lives, or the lives of our family and our children. These are the things that are often foremost, and we want to bring to him because we're concerned. Sometimes we're paralyzed by anxiety and fear. Maybe the things that are pressing into our lives, and the Lord cares about those things very much. Maybe praying for someone who's sick, or someone who's left the faith, or stressed relationships, or all kinds of things, loneliness, depression, just the stuff that human beings experience in human life. And the Lord wants us to bring everything to him. And as Mary of Bethany, as we talked about yesterday, by the way, if you didn't have a chance to tune into the program yesterday, I encourage you to go to our website. Monday, I spoke about St. Francis and his life and what he taught about us. I think at the end of the week, I'm also going to talk a little bit more about the life of Francis, just because there's so much there, I think, in this week as we remember him, that we could take in, and the Holy Spirit wants to teach us about what's possible for human beings who are radically desiring to pursue the Lord. And of course, Mary of Bethany chose the better portion. Francis also chose the better portion. You know, he lived that radical life of prayer, but also of service, of radical service as well. And so Mary of Bethany sat at the feet of Jesus, and Jesus made clear to Martha that Mary was choosing the better portion, and that the first thing that we're called to is just a profound devotion to God and deep, deep love for God. And so today we see the Lord's Prayer, and Jesus prayed regularly, we know, and that he would leave the crowds and he'd go find a place where he could be alone and he could speak to the Father and he could pray. And some of those disciples who were following him had also been disciples of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist taught them ways to pray. And he said, "Hey, you know, John taught his followers how to pray. Can you teach us to pray?" And so the Lord gave them this prayer, his prayer, and it came from his heart. And it also is such a wise prayer. Wise from the point of view, you know, remember, Jesus is the master. We're following the master. He's teaching us the whole way of life. Everyone who's a disciple is a learner. And what we're learning is the life of Jesus. We're learning the lifestyle of Jesus, the thought life of Jesus, you know, the ministry of Jesus and the heart of Jesus. We're learning all these things, and he's teaching us over time. And his teaching is powerful, and it transforms us precisely because he's given us the Holy Spirit, which the Spirit dwelt in Jesus. Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one. He, the fullness of the Spirit, he was fully united to the Holy Spirit when he walked the face of the earth. And that same Spirit that was in Jesus and the same Spirit that he poured out on the day of Pentecost is in your life and in mine if you're baptized into Christ. And the Holy Spirit wants to teach us how to pray and how to pray like Jesus. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will teach you everything. He'll bring to your memory. He'll help you remember all that I've given to you. And this prayer, the Lord's Prayer, is one of the most precious gifts that the Lord has given to us. Because Jesus is directing us to put first things first in our prayer, to put a set of things that we wouldn't naturally or instinctively put in the first place in terms of our concern and our relating to God and our conversations with God. So Jesus begins, Our Father. He turns our heart because where do we direct our prayer? Our prayer is fundamentally through Jesus in the Spirit, right? The Spirit of God praying in us. But Jesus makes it possible. And the perfect way it's expressed is in the Eucharist. Jesus makes it possible for us in being united to his passion, death, resurrection, his crucifixion, the offering of his life of love to the Father. His resurrection allowed him to enter new life. He passed from death to life, and the new creation began in him. And Jesus took in himself human flesh into the holy place, the Holy of Holies. And he's the second Adam. He's the father of a new race of people, those who are born again by water in the Spirit. And so he brings us in his own person into the presence of the Father. And his desire was to make it possible for us to have peace with God, that the separation between us, the alienation that's deep in the human heart because of sin, Jesus came to deal with that problem, that sin problem that separated us from God, enables us by applying his cross, his precious blood washed over us for the forgiveness of our sins and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our lives in baptism. He makes it possible for us to become children of God and enter this family that is now being literally like spiritually sired by his Son. Jesus is bringing about a new humanity, a new creation. And it's already beginning in the lives of all those who are baptized into him. And Jesus is the master, and he's committed to discipling each one of us, forming us. And ultimately, friends, this is extremely exciting, is he's committed all the way to bring us home to the Father and to bring us home perfected, to make us holy. Remember what Hebrews says, the letter of Hebrews, you know, that which is holy, basically, I'm paraphrasing, cannot be united to what is truly holy. You know, if you come into the presence of God, what is unholy is going to get burned up. Jesus makes it possible for us. He's the one who makes us holy through the gift of the Holy Spirit and the gifts that come in our cooperation with it. So Jesus is teaching us how to best direct our lives and to prioritize our prayer. So the first step in prayer is to gaze at the Father, is to begin to learn how to speak to God as our Father. Again, not a distant force, just a power that's vaguely out there somewhere, but to know who the Father is. Jesus said to see me is to see the Father. The Father revealed himself perfectly in Jesus. And so we see the profound compassion of Jesus, the mercy of Jesus, the tender-heartedness, his ability to heal and to set free and to forgive sins that's present, his tremendous care for the weak and the broken. It's there. But also, Jesus doesn't abide lies. He makes war against sin. And that's what he's doing in our lives too. So we gaze upon the Father, and then the Holy Spirit, Scripture says, Romans chapter 8, communicates to our spirit, teaching us that we are children of God and that we're no longer slaves and aliens, but we're God's children. And that Spirit cries out to our spirit and cries out within us, Abba, Father. God is my Father. So that's the foundation of it. We're gazing at the Father. And the next thing is we pray, we begin to petition, Father, hallowed be your name. We want to honor your name, to set aside your holy name that you've revealed to us. And we do that, and it's so important. Jesus wants us to do that, to remember who it is that we're communicating with and who the Father is and his awesome greatness and holiness. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come and thy will be done. I often put those two together. Thy kingdom come. Jesus came to bring the kingdom. Jesus said, this is the reason I came. Repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom and the rule of God has come into a rebellious world, and it has been established by the king, and it's rightfully his. The world and all of creation rightly belongs to Jesus. And so his heart was to pray the Father's will, and the Father's will was that Jesus would be the king of all nations, that Jesus would be the king of glory, that he's the king that the Father has put on the throne. And so we join that prayer. And we say, yes, Father, thy kingdom come. Let the reign of your Son fully lay hold of my life and penetrate my soul, penetrate my heart, fill me, help me be captivated by your Son and obedient to him and following his leadership and his lordship. Thy kingdom come. We want the rule of God on the earth. We want human beings to come into the kingdom of God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. One of the things the catechism helps us understand here, thy will be done, is he wants all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. We're praying here for God's will, for the salvation of all, for the mission of the kingdom of God to go forward to save souls, to save human beings, to bring them from a state of alienation and domination under the powers of the world, of the flesh and the devil, and to bring them into union with God the Father. Everyone's called, everyone. And the church prays for this every day. And Jesus wants this to be in our hearts and not just to have our own personal concerns. And I really believe at one point in my life, I felt like Jesus said, look at this prayer and how I've structured it. You care about the things I want you to care about. I'll take care of the things you want me to take care of. Things you're worried about. Bring those to me too. But I want you to focus on these things because all things will be added to you. I will lead you. I will care for you and I'll provide for you. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's another important principle, right? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then give us this day our daily bread, the basic provision. Jesus will give it to us. He'll provide for us. It may not be as much as we want at times, but he will. He'll take care of us. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses. And this is the conditional here is something we have to pay attention to. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So we're basically praying, Lord, if I don't forgive me. And remember that Jesus sent his apostles for this reason. He said, you know, you've heard me teach. You know that I'm risen. Now I'm sending you out to testify to what you have seen and to proclaim the forgiveness of sins for salvation. So people can have their sins forgiven and enter new life in baptism. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation. Jesus doesn't lead us into temptation. It's like, don't allow us to go into temptation, Lord. Protect us. And of course, defend us from the evil one, from Satan, who's the real enemy of our lives. There's no human being on the earth who's my enemy. It's Satan and the demons that are enslaved to him that really is, they are the enemy. And I'm praying that I not be seduced to the lies of the enemy. What a beautiful, powerful prayer. Let's pray it from our hearts each day, many times. God bless.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.